Hello, and welcome to The Staffing Show, the only podcast that delivers tools, tips, and tactics from the staffing and recruiting industry's top executives and thought leaders.
Today's guest is Carl Stecker, founder and CEO of Benefits in a Card. With over 30 years in staffing, Carl has engineered benefits solutions tailored to both the people using them and the firms providing them. Under his leadership, Benefits in a Card has refined affordable coverage for the staffing world, making benefits simple, flexible, and truly meaningful for everyone. For employees, that means no deductible coverage, benefits that immediately start on assignment, and the ability to select only the plans they need, keeping their costs low and their protection robust. For staffing firms, it means a way to retain talent, fortify your recruiting edge, and cut your turnover cost, all rooted in our company's mission: retain, don't retrain. Today, Carl's going to walk us through benefits plus payroll data security via Benefits Sync API, how it works, why staffing firms need it, and how it seamlessly syncs data into systems like Paylocity, Aviante, Bullhorn, GreenShades, and more than 250 others, all while keeping employee data safe and compliant. If you're focused on delivering better benefits, boosting retention, and minimizing your risk, or improving integration workflows, you're in exactly the right place.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Staffing Show. Today, we are digging into the hidden data risks and staffing payroll and how benefits can actually win you new talent in a down market. I'm joined by Carl Stecker, who's been in the game for 33 years, founded NetProfit, sold that Equifax, and is now the CEO and founder of Benefits in a Card, and is currently rolling out Benefits Sync and Free RX. And Benefits in a Card has over 262 integrations directly into payroll, ATS, and HRIS systems. Carl, super excited to have you on the show today and to dig into this topic. Thanks so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure, David. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, to kick things off, so everybody has a little bit of background on who you are and what Benefits in a Card is, can you tell us a little bit how you got into the staffing industry? And then I want to jump in and learn a little bit about Benefits in a Card.
Sure. How we got into staffing, we founded NetProfit in 1990 and got into the tax credit arena in 92, processing, at the time it was the targeted jobs tax credit, which we all know is WOTC, Watson yep. credits, welfare to work, so on and so forth. We bought a company, I believe 94, and they had a big staffing client base. We were big in the food industry, the, you know, kill floor operations, processing, ConAgra, Tyson Foods, folks like that. And then when we got into the staffing industry, we made an acquisition, got into the staffing industry, and not only was it a poor acquisition on my part, I also, you know, you got to own it sometimes, but I did not understand the staffing industry. I did not understand how you turned people on and off, you know, the fact that when they come into the branch, you got to catch them right away, get them to fill out whatever you need filled out, or you lose them. Because when staffing dispatches, they're not coming back into the office for a second interview. They're going right to the job. And so at the time, the company was losing about $70,000 a month. And I can remember standing in a parking lot, for some reason this comes to mind, and wondering how I was going to survive this. And it became very clear. It became very clear to me that I needed to either figure it out with our team or abort, right? And I think a lot of companies get into staffing because they see the high numbers and they see the payroll and the headcount. And, you know, it's like the dollar signs flash. But if you can't work with staffing in the way that staffing works and be seamless to them, you're in trouble.
And yep.
So that was kind of the mid-90s was my really a big learning experience. So, you know, we started going to the conferences, we started talking to people, we started really learning the industry and grew to just love it. And so I guess it was about 98, 99, David, we were up in DC and we were lobbying for the extension of the WOTC credit.
Yep.
And I was having dinner with three of our staffing clients and they looked at me and said, "Hey, you know, you get our payroll weekly. You're integrated into our hiring platform. Why can't you come up with an affordable benefits solution?" And I was like, "Well, what does that look like? You know, what do you currently have in place?" Now, keep in mind, I knew absolutely nothing about health insurance at the time. I don't even think I had my own. And seriously, but I'm a very optimistic fellow, and so is my management team. And so we were like, okay, you know, we can probably do this. And so they started talking to us about, well, you know, at the time, all that was available was your major medical plans, Blue Cross, United, you know, Aetna, Cigna, yep, so on and so forth. Or they had the supplemental plans, your Aflac plans, where if you get hit by a buffalo at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday, you might get $50, you know? So that was kind of where they were at. And what the feedback I was getting was, if people do stay long enough, you know, that 90-day wait or 120-day wait, they stay long enough to get coverage, they can't afford it. So that started the research, if you will. We started flying around the country, meeting with carriers, quickly discerned that we would only work with A-plus rated carriers. That became very apparent quick. And so that's when it started. And several million dollars later and 2 years of development, out popped Benefits in a Card. That's how we got here.
That's amazing. And now, how many people are on your benefits? How many people are being helped because of you guys today?
Oh, hundreds of thousands.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
It's been a real cool journey. Yeah. We've been able to help a lot of people.
I love that. I love that. And I know one of the things you and I have talked about previously was just the level of kind of risk that goes into kind of the payroll and the way that people are transferring and integrating their data with their other systems. Could you tell me a little bit about how that shows up within the staffing industry? Anything that the agencies that are listening to this today should know?
Yes, it's another story and one that's a bit embarrassing. We, at the back end of Benefits in a Card, Net Profit, FreeRx, Benefits Sync, you name it, we truly, behind the scenes, are a technology operation. Our tech stack is almost as large as our bilingual call center.
That's so wild. I mean, 262 integrations is insane. We have a lot. That's a lot of integrations.
Well, that was since the beginning. We started the integration path January of 24. And the embarrassing part about the story is I ignored integrations for 15 years.
Yeah.
And I saw our competitors blurting them out. I saw marketplace partners. I saw all of that. And I'm an operations guy. I'm not a sales guy. I'm not a marketing guy. So I'm looking at it completely operational. And I think part of what kind of shied me away was that some of the fees that companies wanted to charge to integrate with. And I saw it as, okay, we've got the platform, we've got the technology. Why would we want to drive up the end user cost? So long story short, at the end of 23, at our Christmas luncheon, our director of client happiness, Karen Porta, came to me and said, Carl, we've got to start integrations. And I said, why? She said, our clients want it. Well, that's all you got to say to me. And Karen knew it. Karen and I have been working together for 12, 13 years now. She knows exactly what button to push to get me to move. And it's kind of funny. So I said, okay, Karen. I said, January 1, so 2 weeks later, let's kick off an initiative to do these integrations. And so January rolled around. I started making phone calls. And I really wanted to do it personally, where I was talking to the Aviantes, the TempWorks, the Green Shades, the Accors, the, you know, everybody supporting the industry and just getting a feel for it. And I knew that I wanted API integrations.
Yep.
What was shocking to me is that no one in our space, in the health, the benefits space, no one was API integrated. I said, well, how are you getting your files? You know, how do you get your files? And he said, well, we get them either CSV, flat file, email, Wi-Fi, and Excel, sending over your whole payroll. And it really turned me on my head. And I'm not a super tech guy. I've learned a lot about it, more than I ever thought I'd know. But I knew this was really bad. I knew that it was insecure. It was all of those things. It was a massive vulnerability. And I'm seeing on our own front all these hacks and attempted hacks and things coming through. So I walked into my IT director's office and I said to Gary Wright, I said, Gary, I said, you're not going to believe this. And he says, what's that? And I said, all of the staffing industry is sending payroll in flat files, Excel, CSV, Wi-Fi, I'm like, Gary, I'm like, okay, well, what do you do with this? You know? And he looked at me and he said, Carl, payroll data security in the staffing industry is non-negotiable. And that's when I realized this is going to cost a bundle. And yeah. It just is what it is. So as you mentioned, a year and 10 months later, we are now API integrated with 262 payroll HRIS systems and ATS systems. So we cover the gamut. And we did that to be able to make sure that as we're bringing new clients in, we've got a secure way to do so and a secure way to handle their data. And we decided to take it a step further. And I had a conversation with some of my friends at Hartford, and they're one of the probably the biggest writer or insurer of cybersecurity policies. So I started talking to them about this. And I said, how would this affect your cybersecurity rates? And they said, well, Carl, if you've got payroll, if you're now handling payroll in an API manner, and you can document all this, that you're doing it for the company and certify them, if you will, issue a certificate that they can bring to us to show us exactly what they're doing, they'll get a 20% discount on their cyber policy. I thought, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So about that time was when we decided that we either needed to start another company or create a division. I thought it sounded less expensive to start a new division, David, than it would be to start a new company. I was incredibly wrong about that. We were several million dollars into this initiative and quest, if you will, to secure the staffing industry, and it's not going to slow down. So we created Benefits Sync as a division of Benefits in a Card to, one, manage all these different integrations. And then we came up with a certificate, if you will, that we issue to clients when we onboard them so that they can take that to their cybersecurity policy, carrier. And then we started to talk about it amongst our team. We said, let's take this one step further. We need to provide training on phishing, ransomware, all of these other things so that our clients can have access to it. And I want to do it for free. So we partner. Yeah, it's a tall order, but I wanted to do all of this stuff for free.
Yeah,
and that's where the
great. Yeah, God, that sounds like a great idea. They get on board right away, or any challenges there?
Well, no, not from a client perspective. They're glad to hear it's free, but we partnered with Ningio, which is there's a couple big ones out there. There's Ningio, there's KnowBefore. We're talking to them right now, but we partnered with Ningio, and if you go to the Benefits in a Card website, you'll see in the upper right hand corner, you'll see Benefits Sync API. If you click on that, it'll take you into the Benefits Sync portal. So we've got the certificate side of it, and then we've got the Ningio training. So we can assign you a username, password, and the clients can avail themselves of all of that Ningio training at no cost to them. So they can send out phishing emails and then see who clicked on it, right? And do some corrective coaching. And so it's a way for them to train their staff because, we've all, and these, I want to be really, really clear about this. All of these mistakes that I will talk about in our conversation today, I've made. We've made as a company.
So,
I'm no really smart guy that figured all this out. I've made all these mistakes. We've had breaches. We've had stuff stolen. So it's probably why I'm so hypersensitive, if you will.
You've experienced that. You know what it's like. What are some of the types of breaches that either you've experienced that happen frequently within the industry? Like what people be watching out for?
Most of them are phishing.
Yeah.
But one of the attacks that we're seeing more and more of with AI, and cyber breaches have gone up in staffing, healthcare, and payroll by 900% since 2024. So in the past year and 10 months that we've been working on this, breaches have gone up 900%. And that's an incredible number. The other big number that I'm watching is AI is going to double in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Breaches will double in the next 6 months.
At least.
Yes, exactly.
The capabilities and the quality of the attacks is improving at an insane rate right now.
Yeah, and the staffing industry is a $212 billion target.
Yeah.
For cybersecurity acts and breaches. And it's not going to slow down. But the one trend that we've seen really, really start to escalate through AI is actual voice. People yeah. trying to come in, they're either calling you or they're trying to get your credentials or they're calling into, you know, somebody in your organization and people don't, you know, they'll get a conversation going and all of a sudden they're giving them passwords or they're giving them their credentials or something of that sort. So we're seeing more and more stuff done live in voice. I had a guy call me. I was on a walk one day on a weekend and he called me and it sounded really legit. It was the police department. And they were saying that I had a parking citation and that they were going to come, you know, pick me up or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I'm out on my walk. Right.
Yeah.
And but basically it was this guy wanted me to pay him $2,000 over the phone. And I said, well, let me just get you your address. Go ahead and send the squad car over. Right. And, yeah. and hung up the phone. I'm like, but I mean, it's a really, really people. They've gotten so assertive, aggressive, almost, you know, I mean, it's uncanny.
Yeah, well, it's wild. I feel like the tactic right now is they know people make rash decisions when they're afraid of loss and the scare hit from Coinbase, cryptocurrency wallet texts almost every day of like, hey, we're trying to reset your password. If you didn't do this, call us. and it's never, ever a real thing. But there's the level of the degree of people are going to on these hacks is pretty amazing right now. One of the questions I have for you is when you do see a loss at a staffing firm that's benefits related to the compliance side of things, what's usually the root cause? Is it the data, the process, the people? What do you see kind of driving the loss of that not winning the case?
Well, 42% of the breaches are human error.
Yeah.
So I've had some people argue with me, you know, well, we use FTP server. We use a secure FTP server, so on and so forth. Well, in that environment, you send that data. It's stored somewhere for a period of time and then carries on. And firewalls mean nothing anymore for data yeah. breaches. Basically, data on the move that's unencrypted or that's stored somewhere is what they're capturing. And that's what we're seeing a lot of. And we're seeing a lot of it just from people. We're creatures of habit, right? We're used to doing things, or maybe we're not at the office. We're on our Wi-Fi somewhere. And hey, I've got to get this done. If it's a person in benefits or HR, they've got to get that feed out to the provider. And they don't think as much about security. One of the things is I didn't mention this, but one of the things we did as we kind of ran down this road, we were really hustling to get all these integrations done. And it dawned on us, well, wait a minute. What about our clients that aren't part of an integration or that do payroll in-house?
Yeah.
You know, how are we going to protect them and how do we transmit their data? So as part of that thought process, we developed an API application that a client can go into our Benefits Wizard, which is our proprietary software platform, our operating system, if you will, and they can download our app, drop and drag their payroll into it. It encrypts it and sends it back to us API.
That's amazing. So even for the people that don't have the direct API, ATS integration or HR payroll integration, you're able to have the same level of encryption so that it's not getting picked up over the airwaves, essentially.
Exactly. And I don't know, it was one of those things where you're running so fast, you run so hard to get all these integrations done. And it was like, uh-oh, what about my friends? And what about my friends and my clients, you know, that don't have that? How are we going to solve that issue? And that's where our tech team became, they really excelled on developing that app. And I mean, they made it happen in short order.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the last 2 years, you guys have dug deep into the integration tech side of the business. How is that impacting the growth of your business overall? What are you seeing in terms of where you guys are going?
We're starting to see it. It's really catching on because people are starting to realize the risk. I mean, you don't think much of it until you see a headline that pops up that, you know, a Manpower franchise just got hacked and lost data on 144,000 people and all their client list. You know, that hits you right square. And then you've got UKG, the old Kronos, Kronos was huge in staffing for years.
Yeah.
So UKG got lifted and they didn't make payroll for Tesla, Whole Foods, or PepsiCo. I mean, that's a problem. So
that's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the kind of things we're seeing more. And I think as the awareness goes up, people are realizing that maybe I'm not just a some quack talking about security, you know, because I'm truly not. This was not something that was done as a marketing effort.
Yeah.
It was strictly operational, and it was tie down the staffing industry, secure the industry, help the industry any way you can. And
I hadn't even thought about the cybersecurity element of that, just saving on those costs alone, probably worth the effort of integrating and moving forward just as a kind of a baseline. One of the other areas that I know you and I talked about briefly was just the levels of coverage. And I think the stat that you shared was that 40% of workers in the staffing industry have spousal coverage. Is that something that people have coverage when they're coming into it, but then they're also, I know that we're seeing in healthcare staffing and beyond, that right now benefits being offered can actually be a pretty significant differentiator in terms of how you drive growth, especially when pay rates are flat. How are people using your benefits in a card from that perspective?
So it's, and I'll share with you a little bit about FreeRx.
Yeah.
Part of kind of the explanation to that question. I was going in for my second open heart and they give you a bunch of medications, right? To keep inflammation down, so on and so forth. But when I say a bunch, I mean a slew of medications.
Yeah.
So I went to the pharmacy to pick up my meds, and it's not like it was elective surgery, so I had to do what they told me to do. And I got hit with a $407 deductible. And I thought, I've got Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Major Medical, best plan money can buy. Our whole team has the same plan. How can this be? Like, I'm like, how can I be paying for a $400 deductible when I've got a $1,500 or $1,800 a month insurance bill? So long story short, I turned around, paid the bill. Like I said, didn't have a choice. Paid the bill, and I no more than hit the door, and I started thinking, this could be somebody's car payment. This could be their grocery budget for their family. This could be their daycare allowance for the week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all of this, it just was like a wave that came over me, and I'm like, this system is broke and we need to fix it. And so in my 25 years as CEO of Benefits in a Card, we're constantly reviewing plan designs. We're constantly looking for new programs and platforms and, you know, what's the best benefit we can offer? How can we get it for the least amount of money so that, you know, we can get uninsured and the underinsured? How do we help them? That's where we end up. How can we help? So long story short, we hired 3 pharmacists. We instructed them, we wanted a formulary that covered 90% of the prescriptions written in generic medications. And typically the formularies that I've seen come across my desk are, you know, 30 to 50. Recently, I've seen a couple out there with maybe 200 medications. Our platform has about 1,000 medications. We started out with 815 and it keeps growing. Out of those were 128 acute medications that you need right away. So then we built in a network of 70,000 plus pharmacies that people can, if they've got an acute medication, they can go to their local CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, Target, Publix, Kohl's, Albertsons, pick up their prescription, show their FreeRx card, and their prescription is filled, no deductible, no copay. And then somebody on the team said, well, what if they don't have a doctor? Well, that's a great idea. So we built in virtual urgent care. So
yeah,
that if the child's sick on the weekend, you know, if your kid's sick and you can't get them on an antibiotic or can't get them better or what have you, they're not just losing a day of school or daycare, you're losing a day of work too. So that's important in the staffing industry, is how do we get people fixed? How do we get them better? How do we help them so that they can get back to work? And so we built that in. That entire package, all of their medications, their telehealth, their urgent care, their network, all of that is $5.99 a week for individual and $6.99 a week for their entire family.
Crazy.
So, and the reason I shared that story with you, and this is something that we're going to open to the public market, it's a lot less expensive for staffing, where, you know, it's 20, like an individual, that's $25.95 a month.
Yeah.
Where in the public market, it's $49.95 a month. So it's a significant discount. But we knew that we could do that because of the turnover in this space. And so we watch the numbers very carefully.
Yeah.
But we can do it for a lot less than for staffing. The reason I shared that is when you asked me about benefits and how that drives retention and people, when we saw we had a big provider fall out of the space, I guess in January of this year. So we started to get a lot of phone calls. People start, okay, let us see what we can do. We're never going to be the cheapest. We don't aspire to be the cheapest. We aspire to be the best. So send us what you have in place now and we'll evaluate it. We'll see what we can do. And obviously there were situations where you had a lot of rollovers. So we had to try to do some price matching and then offer a more robust plan that they could buy up into. But one of the things that really jumped out at our team, and they actually, Karen, our lead account manager, came to me and she said, you know, did you know that these plans to buy more life, like if you want to buy life insurance or you want to buy dental or vision or something that's not covered under your major medical plan or the free RX plan, you want to sign up for free RX. If I went home and told my wife, hey, I can get medications for the entire family for $6.99 a week plus virtual telehealth, she'd be like, go do it.
Yeah.
In staffing, 40%, and I'll use the number 40% because it's more like 50, but 40% of the people that come through your door are going to be on spousal coverage. So they're either on their husband's coverage or their wife's coverage. So they don't need medical, but they may need more life insurance or want more life insurance. They may want free RX because there's certain medications that their plan doesn't cover. Whatever the case may be, with the current plans that they have in place, the majority of the staffing industry, they couldn't buy free RX unless they bought or additional life insurance, unless they bought a medical plan, either a MEC plan or an indemnity plan with it. So now that free RX benefit that would have cost them $5.99 a week, they're now paying $30 a week for. And that to me was just like, holy cow, because everything that we do is, you can pick and choose.
Yep.
And we do that just for this reason, because the more sticky I can make my clients to their employees, the more I'm helping them, the more I'm helping the company, and also the more we're helping the employees, because we're giving them benefit that they wouldn't have had access to otherwise. You know, somebody can afford $6.99 a week. They can't afford $26.99 a week.
Yeah. Well, that makes a ton of sense. And I know when you think about where the industry is at right now, some of the challenges I hear is like, how do we get people to stay around longer? We want better lifetime value on the candidates that we do find. And then also like finding ways to differentiate in terms of what you're offering. How do you guys, or how do the customers that are using you use the benefit from a marketing perspective? Are there approaches that you're seeing for that? What's that look like?
Yeah, so and Benefit Sync and the API and how clients handle the payroll data is a big deal. But the other big deal is what kind of benefits you offer. Are you ACA compliant? You know, all of those things. So what we want to do is give our clients a toolkit, if you will, so that when they're going in and they're talking to their clients, they can show where, you know, we offer our people this, 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 and this, and we're handling your data, your payroll in a very secure fashion through Benefit Sync API. And these are all huge selling tools
for
the staffing company.
Yeah. And where do you see, are they putting that on the job ads? Is it recruiter scripts? Like what's the, any recommended approach for how they use it when they're going to market?
Yes. I think putting it on the recruiter's scripts is one way. I think that right now we're actually next week, we're kicking off, you know, all our client calls to educate them on the new Benefit Sync app that converts to API. We're going to be training them on the Ningio training, how to get into the portal, assigning them passwords, usernames, things like that. So a part of this is also, it's part of their marketing. It's part of the staffing company's marketing that this is what they're providing. And And what we're seeing is that, especially with FreeRx, we're getting calls from companies that are using a staffing company that want to roll it out to the rest of their people.
Oh, that's amazing. That's great.
Yeah, which what that tells me is our clients they're proud of it.
And yeah, they should. That's great. That's great. Yeah. And with all the years that you spend in the staffing industry, we're zooming out a little bit. What are some of the, you know, cybersecurity is obviously a key trend, shifting to more integrated and automated approaches. What are some of the other major trends in terms of where you see the staffing industry go and kind of moving towards in the next 3 to 5 years? Any predictions or forecasts?
Yeah, I think we were having a conversation last week talking about some of the maybe threats that could be happening.
Existential threats right now with AI. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, LinkedIn is looking at going into the staffing space.
Yep.
Indeed is looking at going into the staffing space. Well, these are all things that staffing companies use to recruit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a little uncomfortable thought process. And then you've got one of the when we were doing the roundtables about it, one of the people had brought up robots and robotics. And I was like, I went, hey, hold on a minute. Why don't we start staffing robots? And, you know, a couple people in the room looked at me like I had three heads. But in my mind, in a light industrial environment, look, I can take a fob, plug it into a robot. I can plug my operational manual, my, you know, whatever piece of equipment. I can download that into a bot, and that bot can do the job. He now knows more than I could take in 3 years of training. And under the new tax bill, I can buy 100 bots. I can depreciate them year one. It's a CapEx, right? And now they're pure profit. So why don't be afraid, embrace it. If that's where some of the industry is going, this could be a huge opportunity. Why wouldn't we be doing that?
I've actually had a conversation. I can't remember the name of the company, but it was somebody who their entire vision was to be the largest robotic staffing agency in the world. I had a conversation with a guy that was starting that guy. That was the goal. That's it. I wanted to staff robots.
It may surprise you 3 years from now that he's onto something.
Yeah. You see what NVIDIA is doing. It's wild. A lot of change is happening pretty rapidly right now. So before we jump into the speed round, any other comments you have on kind of the industry or anything else you want to share about benefits in the car?
No, I think we've covered a good bit of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a great, great conversation. So I've got a few last questions for you and then we'll round it up. So
sure.
What book or books have you given most as a gift or have been most influential to you? And why?
So the book that I'm just finishing right now, which I would highly encourage everyone to read, is The Science of Scaling. It was forwarded by Tony Robbins. It is a fabulous book.
That just popped up on my feed. I think I might have just purchased it on Audible, but haven't got into it. What is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be money, time, energy, or something else.
The most valuable investment I've ever made?
Yep. What is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be money, time, energy, or anything else.
The time I spend with my family.
Love it. Love it. And what should listeners download or do immediately after this episode?
Call Benefits in a Card and get and get secure. Get the best in class benefits and get secure.
I love it. Well, Carl, really enjoyed having you on the podcast today. Enjoyed the conversation, and I hope the listeners got some insights out of it. So thanks so much for joining.
Thank you, David. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thanks for listening to The Staffing Show. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at staffinghub.com to never miss an episode. Until next time.